Hello and welcome to Out in the Bay, our weekly show about gay life from San Francisco. I'm Marilyn Pittman. My guest is a Bay Area psychotherapist, author, and former radio host. Her memoir, Writing Fury Home, chronicles 40 years of the intense, complex, and surprising relationship between her and her mother. Hannah Wilson, welcome to Out in the Bay.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here.
Good. What an extraordinary story. Let's start. It spans 40 years. So let's start in the 50s. When you were 7 years old and your mother tried to commit suicide, you're in Millstone, New Jersey.
Right. And she went off, and I really was a 7-year-old who lost her mother, didn't know what had happened, but she was gone. And for the next 2.5 years, she would mostly be in mental hospitals having electroshocks and psychiatric treatment. And she came home a very different mother than she left, very heavily addicted to psychiatric drugs. And it would not be until I was 20 years old that I would know the secret of her anguish. At that point, I had come out as a lesbian, and she would tell me what had happened, which is that she had been lovers with another married woman when I was a child, both given psychiatric treatment because it was the 50s, and homosexuality was considered a mental illness. It led to their breakup and her despair and her not wanting to live. And so she attempted suicide.
But all through, wow, isn't that, it's just mind-boggling to think about it.
Yeah.
From our standpoint now, looking at it 40 years ago and how far we've come as in terms of consciousness and as a culture, homosexuality was taken out of the DSM, the doctor's manual, in 73 as a mental illness. So it was, in other words, it's not a mental illness as of 73.
One of the things, though, that is so unusual about my story is that my mother reclaimed her life in large part because of the women's liberation movement and the gay liberation movement.
Right around 73.
Yeah, and we both came out as lesbians within a month or so of each other.
So it's genetic then, huh?
Yeah.
Well, so here you are, this child who you didn't know what happened. You didn't know about the suicide attempt. You're 7 years old. And you start the book that way. Want to read from it?
Sure. I was the first child ever allowed to visit a patient at the private mental hospital where my mother was being treated. Before our first trip there, Dad said, "The doctors think your mother will get better if she can keep seeing you." Visiting hours were on Sunday, so I had to drop out of Jewish Sunday school, which I had just begun 6 months earlier. Though I was 7, they had put me with the 6-year-olds because I didn't read any Hebrew. The odd-shaped letters blurred before my eyes, and I'd made no attempt to decipher them. But I loved the singing, humming along to the guttural language. On the easy songs, like Hava Nagila, I belted the words. After songs, we got to eat exotic treats, dates, figs, and rugula, buttery spirals of dough with raisins and cinnamon. My father and I sang on the 2-hour drive to the hospital, up the New Jersey Turnpike, over the Tappan Zee Bridge. He taught me his favorite. "I'll build a bungalow big enough for two, big enough for two, my honey, big enough for two. And when we're married, happy we'll be under the bamboo tree." Dad and I sang and sang, ballads, show tunes and spirituals, as our old brown Hudson lumbered along. Going to see my mother, who was not a mother. My need of her was frozen, clamped down against any thaw. But she needed me. Maybe if I loved her enough, my mother would heal.
Wow. It's an extraordinary memoir. Writing Fury Home is the name of it. You're listening to Out in the Bay. I'm Marilyn Pittman. My guest is Hannah Wilson, the author of Writing Fury Home. It's a memoir about her relationship with her mother spanning 40 years. And you can hear more and find out more at writingfuryhome.com. As a child, how did you cope with this? What was the impact of this on your life? These years where, 1 year where you took care of her on your own, other years we just didn't know enough about her mental illness and what caused it, you know, as you're trying to grow up as a person.
You know, I think this happens to a lot of children who have parents that they really are fragile or they have to take care of or are mentally ill. But I had a lot of shame. I tried not to bring anybody home. But I also had a childhood. I had kind of a life where I would play with kids, but then I would run home and look after my mother. And the toll that that takes when you never know as a child what you're going to find. Twice I found my mother overdosed on pills when I came home. And I think in the long run, it created an anxiety that became like a second skin. So on one hand, you know, as a child, I was very resilient and coped and had joys. And but I didn't get to be fully get to be a child with a mother who was raising me.
And don't you write something, Hannah, about not being able to sleep very well?
Yeah, I had to put my mother to bed. She had very heavy sleeping pills that she took, and she was a smoker. So what would happen is I would actually be vigilant for her to watch that she wasn't going to burn the bed. And then I would, once she fell asleep, I would often lie with her and sing to her to get her to sleep. And then I would go and upstairs. And, you know, when you're a child, even though I knew there weren't wolves outside, I would be scared that there might be wolves looking in the windows. So there was a lot of terror, and also learning to kind of sleep with one ear tuned to a mother who might fall down in the middle of the
night.
That's
so much stress for a child.
Yeah, it is a lot of stress. And luckily, I've had a lot of ability during the years to heal, to get good therapy, to be in the women's movement, to have a creative life that also helped heal me, too.
And you came out through the feminist movement.
I did, yes.
In the early 70s, as I did as well.
Yeah. It was a very exciting time.
It was an empowering, exciting time.
Amazing.
You write about that in the book as well. Absolutely fantastic experience
and
that
I think
empowered us.
Yes, and I think there was a way that to see my mother be transformed from a depressed person to move into Greenwich Village to a vibrant lesbian community and to come to an astonishing joy. That was miraculous. And actually,
and to find love again.
And find love again. And later in life, to move on to my block and heal enough to mother me as an adult. I was an adult, which I couldn't get from her. But toward the end of her life, she mothered me.
Well, you're a therapist. So tell me about that. Was that incredibly healing? I mean, the idea that a child, you could have your mother mother you when you're an adult. Did it sort of help make up for the loss?
It made up quite a bit. I also kind of resisted it, but because, you know, it's hard.
It was a little late, Mom.
A little late. But my mother actually got strong enough where she could also say to me, tell me what it was like for you when you were a child and I was so incapable.
And she was able to hear this.
And I said, really? Because I had thought, if I tell my mother, part of writing Fury Home is the journey of a child who has to suppress their need of their mother because she's too fragile, and the rage that gets suppressed, too.
Well, yeah.
So, you know,
that's the title, Writing Fury Home.
Yes, and so the journey to heal and come to some forgiveness between us and for each of us.
Now, you also interviewed your mother on KPFA.
I did. 1973, I joined... I was part of a pioneering lesbian radio show on KPFA. And for the first time, my mother, I got to interview my mother, and she could tell me what it had been like for her.
And you brought us some of that, which must be just so great that you have it.
I know that it survived is amazing.
And in listening to it, you can find it online at writingfuryhome.com, various clips of this interview on KPFA back in the 70s. Was it in the 70s?
It was 1973, and this is really the first time I heard in depth my mother's story. And I was willing, we were both willing to tell it, because we knew it wasn't just about her particular story, but the story of many women from the 50s.
Frances, the movie Frances, we look at that. I mean, that wasn't even about being lesbian.
Yeah.
So let's hear a piece of this. This is the interview with Hannah and her mother. This is about being in the mental hospital.
Oh, it was terrible. We used to have a shower once a week, and we'd line up, 40 of us, nude, with a little tiny towel over our shoulder, and wait, you know, in turn for this great shower that we had to do in a hurry. And, you know, the only way I got out of that place was to do what they told me. I scrubbed floors. I made beds. I washed walls. I behaved myself. Because in the beginning, they put me into, if I would get uppity, they'd put me into solitary.
How would you get uppity?
I don't really remember, but I remember being put into a room where everything was like mattresses. And there was nothing, you know, you couldn't kill yourself in that place. But, you know, one of the horrible things about that place, I remember my father and my sister coming to visit me after I'd been there for a while. And I was trying to sit down logically and rationally to tell them how terrible a place this was, how horrible it was. And, all right, you know, they just tried to calm me down, and, well, there wasn't any more money. So I was so desperate, I took this cup of tea I was drinking, and I smashed it on the table, and I cut my wrist in front of them. Well, I'm sure that made them think I was really crazy. What I was trying to do was to show them how desperate I hated this place. And I really hated it. And I tell you, it was so bad that I think I got better faster there than in all the fancy places. Whatever that means. It meant that I could control myself more or something, control my depression more.
Control your outward appearance.
Or my behavior.
Wow, you're listening to Out in the Bay. I'm Marilyn Pittman. My guest is Hannah Wilson, the author of Writing Fury Home, a memoir about her relationship with her mother. You can find her at writingfuryhome.com. Wow, solitary confinement. These are bizarre ideas to us now, not to you and I in our generation, because we've lived this long time where we've seen the evolution of consciousness about homosexuality and having it declassified. But she's so articulate and so conscious in her description, and she's funny.
My mother was funny, and she was very articulate. And unfortunately, she went into the mental hospital speaking four languages, and because she had many, many electroshocks, it ruined
it
a lot.
That language killed, part.
Yeah, it killed the language part.
And then
a lot.
She also, in the interview you did with her on KPFA, and also on your website, there's a great picture of the two of you in Greenwich Village in 1972. It's just so wonderful to look at it, writingfuryhome.com. But I want to play another clip from that interview real quick, and this is about the electroshock she endured there at the mental hospital.
So when I got there, they told me that I was to have 18 shock treatments. And I don't remember signing anything. I think your father signed me in. But I know I was depressed, and I was unhappy, and I felt I was pretty sick. And I didn't know how to get happy, or even to get not feeling miserable all the time, and wanting to, or in pain all the time, in agony all the time, in torture all the time. So they sent me to this place, and they gave me an electric shock. And I was terrible. I felt terrible. And every time, I remember after the first shock, I called up my parents, get me out of here. I used all my change, called up my friends to get me out of here. And it wasn't until 18 shocks later that they let me out of this place. And then I remembered you, I remembered your father.
You know what happened when you were there? I remember I was in second grade, I think. And one time we were going to go to see you. And Dad said to me, when we go to see you, she may not remember who you are. And I remember I was in second grade, what that did to me, how that felt, that my own mother might not know who I was. Really.
Well, luckily, I did know who you were. But I know that when I got home, I didn't remember where we lived. I had to learn the whole town again that I knew by heart. People would come up to me and say, "Hello, Gloria," and I wouldn't know who the hell they were. And they could have been old friends, and some of them probably were. But I just didn't remember. And it took me a long, long, long time before I got my memory back. And I don't know whether I've ever recovered all of my memory. But I know that it didn't help my depression any. It only made me worse. And they had to send me away.
That is Hannah Wilson's mother. Hannah is my guest here on Out in the Bay. I'm Marilyn Pittman. She's the author of Writing Fury Home. It's a memoir about she and her mother. And you can find out more at writingfuryhome.com. What's your mother's name again?
Gloria.
Gloria, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
She's so articulate and so, you just feel her. And mm-hmm. and you're so sweet and young. I mean, you're not sweet now, but there's a sort of youthful innocence in your voice and a sort of littleness that you have in talking to her.
Yeah.
It's 1973. You're interviewing her. That's a clip that you just heard, audience, on from KPFA in Berkeley. your show. Was that on Lesbian Air? Or was that the on the other show?
It was a show called Lesbian Air.
Yeah, there was Fruit Punch for the guys, and there was Lesbian Air.
Exactly.
For the lesbians,
yes.
Who just...
Yes. And, you know, I just want to tell you
one
thing about
that. We were very separated.
We were separated, but I also remember we used to get these letters, and we got a letter from someone who literally, a young high school student, she would take the radio into her closet because she didn't want her parents to hear and listen to Lesbian Air. And what a lifeline it was then. You know,
huge.
And for my mother, she had already come out. She'd moved into Greenwich Village, and she was going to become a gay affirmative therapist herself because she didn't want other people to suffer as she had.
Yeah. And you write about how your mother came out to you in your book, Writing Fury Home. You want to read some of that to us?
Sure. This is about a month after I've come out to her, and her first reaction was really negative. So, but then she sends me a series of letters. Dear Hannah, I have quit therapy. Women's liberation is going to be my therapy from now on. I have joined an older women's liberation consciousness-raising group. It's wonderful. We talk about everything. Love, Mom. I wrote back a jubilant letter of joy and encouragement. A few weeks later, another letter. Dear Hannah, I read about the gay women's organization Daughters of Bilitis in that terrific book you sent me, Sisterhood is Powerful, and I went to one of their meetings in New York City. I now fully approve of everything you are doing. In fact, I feel very close to you. Love, Mamushka. At first I thought, what an incredible, supportive mother I have, going to meet lesbians in order to understand me. And then I wondered, what was she really saying? But something held me back, and I didn't ask. It seemed delicate, as if she was wavering on the verge, and I didn't want her to react by my pressing her. And then a couple weeks later, I got this letter. Dearest Hannah, I have told my older women's liberation group that I am bisexual. Several of the women had negative reactions. I know over time they will come to a better understanding. Myself, I wake up in the morning, look in the mirror, and feel so happy to be alive. Love, Gloria.
And then you kind of correct your mother in the book about the word bisexual.
Yeah, I called her up and said, Mom, what's going on? Because she was celibate, as far as I know, for like since I was 10 years old. Are you having relationships with women? She said, yes. Are you having relationships with men? No. Are you planning on having relationships with men? No. Well, Mom, you're not bisexual. You're a lesbian. And she was very nonchalant. And she just said, guess so, honey.
Do you ever feel eclipsed? Like, wait, you can't be a lesbian. I'm the lesbian.
Yeah, well, you know, the funny thing is, she was wilder than me. I got with a partner, and we had our, you know, merged at the hip relationship, and my mother turned into a wild woman and was sleeping with many women every week for quite a while to make up for a lot of lost time.
And so you're looking at that as her daughter with... Well, it just must have been a mixed bag for you, right, Hannah? I mean, joy that she's not dead, that she's sane, that she's this becoming this amazing person, but also like, what the heck?
Yeah.
What about me?
Yeah.
I got the short end of the stick here.
Yeah. Well, you know, it was more joy than anything. It took me a while to get into the... there was one time when I showed up and she had a lover a year younger than me, and that was too much for me. You know, so then, you know, little green-eyed jealousy there. And what about me, Mom? You know, because she was very kind of like a teenager then. So it's sort of like I was her mother. Then we were both teenagers. And then later, it took quite a while, she was able to mother me, but not then.
Let's talk about that she did evolve into more of your mother.
Yes. Uh-huh. There was a time when I actually I was living in New York after I got dumped by my first girlfriend. I kind of fled to my mother. And I then was living separately from her, and I had a really bad acid trip, LSD trip. Not that I was a heavy drug user. I just want people to know that.
It was part of the times.
It was part
people
of the times.
People took acid.
But I finally, at the end of the trip, went for my mother to comfort me, and she was great. She just sat with me and held me. And at first I almost didn't let go to it, but then she just was able to just be with me. And that was the most amazing thing, to have her big enough to hold me.
And at what age are you then?
I was 21. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So then that sort of was a turning point in your relationship in terms of the dynamic of her being able to fulfill the role of mother?
It was, yeah. Then she moved on to my block a few years later in Oakland and started cooking for me.
She started cooking for you?
Yeah.
That's what a mother does.
Exactly.
And so what was that like, those years? That must have been a really golden time.
It was golden in the sense of, I almost kind of withdrew from friends and just kind of cuddled up with her a lot. And then I got with my partner and moved 5 minutes away, moved off the block. We'd been on together for 5 years. And she kind of screamed bloody murder because... we were so merged that my actually turning and getting involved with somebody and making that person primary was kind of wrenching for both of us. But it's okay. She adapted.
As well as perhaps for your partner.
Yes.
Not an easy role to play.
No.
Complicated mother-daughter dynamic. And yeah. As lesbians, I think it is always, there's always our mothers there.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
So... your mother is not here. She's been gone for quite a while.
Yes. Uh-huh.
She died of cancer in 1990.
Yes.
But you were there. You were there all those years up until 1990, until she went. And you had quite a time with her, and you were there in the hospital with her. You sort of nursed her through that, or you shared it with her.
Yeah. Well, I did. It was hard. I went through her dying. I just wanted to back up for a minute, though, because there were these 10 years before that when we lived separately, and we spent every vacation together, and I think that we were both in lesbian feminist communities was really something. So I would show up in New York, and we'd go to parties together and women's coffee houses, and she'd show or in lesbian bars. We'd go dancing in lesbian bars, and she'd show up, and, like, she'd hang out in my vegetarian lesbian collective, and... we'll have our political discussion. So, you know, there was this whole culture that we shared. And then when she moved and mothered me, and then she began a very quick and rapid dying of cancer, of course. It was very, very... it took her... it was 5 months from diagnosis to her dying.
And terrible.
That's the last part of the book, to give it away, I guess, a little bit. But, you know, there was a way that I had to, again, take care of her. But yet, I had... it was different.
It felt more normalized.
It was more normalized because we'd had an interlude of her being bigger and her taking care of me.
Let's talk about the rage for a minute. By the way, you're listening to Out in the Bay. I'm Marilyn Pittman. My guest is Hannah Wilson. She's the author of Writing Fury Home. It's a memoir about her relationship with her mother. I got to go back to the anger, just because I think anybody listening to this story, Hannah, is thinking, how do you forgive someone? And yet she doesn't. It isn't like she did anything wrong. So then it's about rage at the culture, or rage at the culture, rage at the system.
I think, yes, having a political analysis really, really helped me help my mother, and made it just not a personal failing on her part, but oppression, homophobia.
Sexism.
Patriarchy, sexism, bigotry. And of course, that's overly simplistic too, because that's all true, and yet there was her failure to be a mother. And it wasn't her fault, and yet we did have to work through some, I'm so sorry. She was able to say, I'm so sorry that I could not be there for you, that it was so hard that you had to put me to bed every night, that it was so scary that you had to put out my cigarette fires. So we had to do both. We both had to have compassion for an understanding of the political oppression that she had been through and why and what had happened.
Now, we haven't talked about your father yet, but he's in the picture, sort of on and off.
You know, one of the things that really helped with the story for me, with what had happened in my family, was after my mother died, my father had what I call a transcendental stroke, where... maybe because he almost died and he couldn't speak for a while, he came back more open-hearted, and he was able to speak to me about what had happened from his point of view. And he told me, you know, how excruciating it was to have a wife who says, let's live as brother and sister, to not be wanted. But he also told me about going to the mental hospital and talking to my mother's psychiatrist, who said to him, I can cure your wife stick with her. Even though she's a lesbian, I can get her to be happily heterosexual. I've had other success with other gay people turning them straight. So my father said, okay, I didn't know. I thought if she had tuberculosis, I would stay with her. So I'll stay with her while she's cured of this disease. Later, I thought, I don't think tuberculosis can be cured. But anyway, so we all were victims of the times. And, you know, and unfortunately, I must say that there are still therapists out there from the religious right. There's religious counselors who do try to change people who are gay to being straight.
Trying to set up a law preventing that here in California.
Yeah, and I was actually part of the therapist association that was co-sponsoring the bill that Jerry Brown just signed to make it illegal for therapists to give minors conversion therapy.
Well, let's talk for a minute just as we are coming to the end of our time together. It just seems to me that, you know, as a therapist, usually people don't know that much about their therapists. And so in this situation, you're writing a book, your memoir, about your relationship with your mother. And that's a lot more to know about you if you're my therapist than I would normally know. And so I'm wondering how you cope with that sort of paradox.
Well, it is indeed a paradox. And I would just say that, of course, if my clients come across the book, we'll discuss it and discuss what it's like for them. But there is the idea of the wounded healer. And I think that I was able to do my own healing really can, it's of help because I can go more deeply with my clients.
Well, you're an inspiration and you're strong in that sense. People that know that about you, maybe they want to work with you now more because they see you as somebody that has gone through a lot.
I do have people coming to me now because they understand that I may be able to help them because I know about the path from trauma to healing.
Right. So, it is a professional boundary, but I think in this case, Hannah Wilson, we're going to make an exception.
Okay.
All right? We're going to make an exception because it's an extraordinary book. It's an extraordinary story. And it's really a great read. Writing Fury Home is the book I'm talking about. I'm sitting here with the author of that book. It's a memoir, Hannah Wilson. She's been my guest here on Out in the Bay. Thank you so much.
It's been wonderful.
And now
Thanks, Marilyn.
I get to say that line. You're welcome. My pleasure. I get to say that line that any therapist would say, we have to stop. Thanks for laughing. Thank you for being here again. Thanks for sharing it. You've been listening to Out in the Bay, a weekly show about gay life from San Francisco. Our show streams and is on the air every Thursday at 7 p.m. And then we archive it for podcasting and on-demand listening at outinthebay.com. It's our brand new website. Check it out. We've got a playing favorites page. We put up a dozen of our best shows over these last 8 years. Make a donation. It's tax deductible and it keeps us on the air. Remember, you're the public in public radio. Plus, you can get us on your phone. Just go to the outinthebay.com website and download the Stitcher app. Write us with your comments, Marilyn at outinthebay.com or Eric at outinthebay.com. Thanks to the staff and management of KALW. Eric Wayne is our engineer. Thanks, Eric. Out in the Bay is produced by Eric Jansen and me. I'm Marilyn Pittman. Thanks for joining me.